Amen. So good to see all of you tonight. Love you and appreciate you very much. I'd like to say that we're having results in Macon, Georgia. Appreciate your prayers. Some of you know that the church there has undergone a lot of difficulties, and Satan tried to destroy that church. I shared with you last time I was here about a man named Quince. Quince finally yielded himself to the Lord, and he's been doing some outreach there in Macon. And I was with him yesterday, and we were at a booth that we rented at a facility there. And some people came by, and they said, they stopped. And he said, "Is that you, Quince? Quince, you mean you got religion?" He asked me, he said, "Is he doing good?" I said, "He's doing good." He said, "Well, he's got to be something to it then, because Quince was kind of a rough character." We talked with some people. We had 5 brand new people in church this morning. Man. Praise God. One of them was a lady named Christina, and they told her she was going to die. She had some kind of super bug. I don't understand about that. Maybe you do. But she had this super bug, and they could not, the penicillin or whatever would take care of just about anything, I guess. But now they got these smart germs. Anyways, they told her she was going to die. Well, my daughter-in-law was talking to her, and my daughter-in-law told her, said, "Jesus could heal you." And she said, "Well, if you can do it, whatever you can do, I'm ready." So some of the ministers went up to her hospital and prayed for Christina. And we baptized her in Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there is nothing too hard for God. Amen, amen. Why don't you turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. So good to see all of you, and if I start naming friends, I'll miss somebody by accident, and then they'll all be mad at me. So just suffice it to say, I'm glad to see all of you, my friends here. Praise God. I'd like to read the whole 12th chapter of Genesis, but I won't, because you would faint. So let's just read a few verses here. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This is messianic promise. And God was telling this great man, someday, one of your descendants will be the Messiah. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. How many really love Jesus and appreciate Him tonight? Can we praise Him a little bit? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about God's plan of redemption. God's plan of redemption. And beautiful words in Pentecost. You may be seated. Jesus Christ is the central figure of the human race. He is the centerpiece of the Word of God. He is the cornerstone of civilization. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus, the promised one. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham. Praise God. How many love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. We need a revival of the name of Jesus. We take the name too lightly. We just don't really even use the name to its full potential. Because there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance. Can I get a witness here tonight? There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. We are people of the name of Jesus. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Jesus! 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 Praise God, praise God. In thee, in your descendants, Abraham, I'm going to bless the entire world. Now, I need you, we're talking about God's plan. God has always had a plan. If you were going to build, of course, I'm not a builder. I have been around a lot of construction in my life and seen a lot of things. And before any great edifice or any building at all, there has got to be a blueprint. There has got to be a set of dimensions, a set of plans. That don't you understand what I'm telling you tonight? God didn't just haphazardly sling the stars out in space, but everything is relegated. Everything is orchestrated by the hand of Almighty God with precision that is astonishing to science. And God is in control of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the plan. The plan was with God, and the plan was God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life is the light of men. I'm talking to you about a God that has been in control and is in control. How many appreciate redemption tonight? What can wash away my sin? What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God. I need you to work with me. I need you to let the gray cells work. The 6 inches of gray matter between your ears. Let's work together a little bit tonight and get some foundation for where we're going. The great flood, 8 people were saved. 6 progenitors who, after the ark came to rest on Ararat, they were told to multiply and replenish the earth. Somewhere between 200 and 400 years later, we find multitudes of people living in the area that is now Iraq, on the plains of Shinar, the Tower of Babel. And your Bible says that they were all one race, one language, one skin color, if you please. Whatever language Noah and his family spoke when they went in the ark, that was the language that they were still speaking. But there was the people that study such things say there were at least 1 million people. And they were building the Tower of Babel. And Noah, before his death, had designated that Shem would be the messianic line. If you read it, he says that God shall dwell in the tents of Shem. People have always been tribal, and so it was then. It was clear lines. Hamites, Shemites, and Japhethites. I was listening to Mike Vaughn teach one night. And he was, of course, he was speaking in Spanish, so I didn't understand much about what he said. But he had him a chart. And on the chart, it said Ham, Sem, S-E-M, and Japheth. So after class, in all of my ignorance, I said, Brother Vaughn, I think there must be some mistake. It should be Shem, S-H-E-M. He said, he smiled and he said, Brother Busby, sit down. And he began to explain the Word of God to me in Spanish. And he said that the H was included in transliteration. But that in Spanish there was no H. And so he said, if you search it out, you will find that our word Semitic comes from this. So I have always tried to prove Brother Vaughn wrong. So I went to the big library here in Gainesville, I think it was. And they took me to a huge dictionary. And the lady said, your friend is right, and you are wrong. And so she showed me Semitic are descendants of Shem. What am I getting at? I am saying that that Abraham was a direct descendant of Shem. In fact, if you study the history, you will find that Shem lived long enough that his life overlapped the life of Abraham. What am I saying? If you read the Word of God, you will find that Abraham's own father was an idol maker. And though it was the messianic line, it had been infiltrated by idolatry. And God looked through the descendants of Shem's lineage, and he found a man that would hear his voice, a man who would not succumb to worshiping idols. And the Bible tells us of Abraham that he believed in God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I studied a little bit on that because I knew when I read that, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and somehow there was something there that I wasn't seeing. So I began to study it a little bit, word by word, and see what it is saying is this. Abraham chose to believe in the Lord. He made a decision of faith. Faith is a choice that we make. And if you choose to believe in the Lord, what did the great man say? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house. Woo! Praise God. So I'm talking to you tonight. We do not worship Abraham. Abraham was a mortal man just like you and me. But he was a man of faith, a man who came out from among the Chaldeans, a man who refused to bow his knee to sticks and stones and rats and cats and ticks and dogs and fleas. And he made up his mind that I am going to serve the God of Noah. I am going to pray to the God of Shem. And he talked to God, and God talked back to him, and God said, come out from among your people, and I will make you a great nation, and someday the entire world will be blessed by your descendant. Praise God. Would you praise the Lord a little bit right now? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So, here we are. A lady asked me one time, I was teaching a Bible study in a lady's home, and her husband there. And she said, I want you to explain something to me, preacher. I want you to tell me why God loves the Jews more than he does anybody else. Why is God prejudiced? If he is a loving God, then why does he love them more than anybody else? And I said, ma'am, that is not true. He does not love them more than anybody else. God so loved the world. Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans. Come on, God loves everybody the same. I said, it is true that they are God's chosen people. But man forced God to make that decision. I'll prove to you by the word of God. God didn't start loving the world in St. John 3. God loved the world when he made it. Praise God. I feel like I should be happy because I've got about 50% of you on my wagon right now. I just wish the rest of you would help me a little bit because I'm dragging you. Man has been given the power of choice. It is the crowning factor of a human being. No matter of race and creed and level of wealth or anything, man has the power to decide whether he will serve God or not. You're using your power of choice right now. You decide whether you like this little preacher or not. Man chose to put God out of his equation. It was at Babel that they didn't build the Tower of Babel to try to get where God was. They didn't want to be with God. I'm sorry if I bust your bubble tonight. I'm sorry. But that was not the purpose of the tower. They built the tower to worship the devil. It was at Babel that the zodiac was invented, that they divided the night sky into 12 regions and worshiped the sun, moon, and stars. Romans 1, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but in their foolish hearts were darkened, and they worshiped four-footed beast and creature. That's where idolatry was born. And God said, okay, if you want to go your own way, read it. Read it. And God gave them up. And God gave them over. And God said, go on. And they did. Some of them went down to Africa and began to delve into the deep, dark religions of the world and voodoo and demonology and all of these things. Some of them went to what is now Asia Minor, and there was the birth of Buddhism and Confucianism and all of that world. But there was the descendants of Shem who began to dwell in the land of Palestine. And God looked for the man, and he found him, Abraham. And he said, you're going to be my man. And I am going to make you a safe deposit of my truth. You will sire a people that will be monotheistic and will preserve the idea of one true God in the world. How many one God, Jesus' name people we got in this place tonight? Oh, you are children of Abraham. Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus is God without any person, other person of God anywhere. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the... Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament. Someday all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Jesus. That's why in Matthew 1, he says, and from Abraham to David, 14 generations. And from David to the carrying away to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the carrying away to Babylon unto Jesus, 14 generations. What's he doing? He's declaring that Jesus is who he said he was. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I'm talking about God's master plan. The first place we see it. The first place we get just a little glimpse is in the garden. And Adam and Eve have disobeyed God. And you know the story better than I do. And somebody told me the other day, and they informed me it was not an apple. And they said, "Preacher, you got an apple on this chart. And I just want you to know that that is wrong." And I said, "Well, dear heart, what did you want me to put on there?" Curse on the man, curse on the woman, curse on the serpent. Genesis 3:15, anybody could quote it right now. "I will put enmity between thee, between your seed and her seed." Come on now, you're going to help me now, aren't you? Jesus Christ is the only one ever born seed of woman. Every other human being is seed of the man. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. The woman did not make God. She made the Son of God. "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God pushed man out of his world. And God said, I introduced a plan way back in Genesis that someday the seed of a woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Do you understand that when Jesus died on the cross, it was the greatest paradox of all time? It looked like total defeat. It looked like Satan had won. It looked like the serpent had bruised the heel. But in reality, when he shed that blood, he crushed the head of the serpent. Woo! Christ has won the victory. Hallelujah. 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 If there had been no Abraham, there would have been no Jews. If there was no Jews, there would have been no Jesus. And so, the name of Jesus was not revealed in the Old Testament. It was a secret. They worshiped God by compound titles. They worshiped him, the YHWH. El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim. Oh, yes. But when the angel came and visited the Virgin Mary, he said, the Almighty shall overshadow you, and you shall be with child, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Are you glad tonight for the name of Jesus? Praise God. And that name was revealed in Bethlehem's manger. He called his name Jesus. Jesus said, St. John 5:43, "I am come in my Father's name. I have come in my Father's name." Hebrews 1 and 4 tells us that he inherited that name from his father. Who was the father of Jesus Christ? The Holy Ghost was the father of Jesus Christ. That name that adorned his brow was the name of the Lord God himself, never revealed in the Old Testament, but reserved for New Testament salvation. Jesus has always been the name of God. Jesus is the name of the Father. It is the name of the Son. It is the name of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Are y'all still with me? I'm feeling better. I feel like everybody's with me tonight. All right. Praise God. Longing for Messiah. The hunger for Messiah. Someday Messiah will come. Down through the ages. Little more revelation. As the world was ready to receive it, a little more light was shown. Oh yes. Oh, yes. Abraham saw a vision walking between the cut pieces of the covenant. He saw the smoking furnace and the bright light shining in the night. Smoking furnace was the furnace of affliction that the children of Israel would endure in Egypt. The bright light was the Exodus when God brought them out with a strong hand. Light flashed on Moses when he built the tabernacle and laid the furniture and the altar of sacrifice and the brazen laver of water. And finally, the Ark of the Covenant yonder in the Holy of Holies. But he was sure to understand that this is a temporary thing. We offer animals now, but there's one coming who will give his blood once and for all. He understood the death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, yes, they brought the four-footed woolly creatures and they cut their throats and sacrificed them and took the blood and went to the laver for ceremonial washing, pushed back the veil of the tabernacle and did business with God and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. But they understood that the altar of sacrifice would find its counterpart in the cross of Jesus. They understood that the laver of water would give way to water baptism. And they understood that the Shekinah of God that shined in that holy place was symbolic of the power of God that would someday live in the hearts of men. Thank you, Brother Kennedy, for that tonight. The virtue, the power, the virtue. How many's glad you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Praise God. I get people to listen to me. I don't know when to quit. I'm just a simple little preacher. I don't get to preach to a big crowd much. I'm just whoever's keeping record, I don't know how long I've been preaching. down through the history of the world. A little more light, a little more revelation. Praise God. How many still with me? I don't want to bore you. If I start boring you, I'll quit. Light shined, flashed on prophets. Shined on Isaiah. And he gave us a promise. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then that angel Gabriel said, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is Jesus. Amen. Who hath believed our report? Flash of light on Isaiah. Who hath believed? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? As a tender plant he shall grow. When we see him, there's no beauty we should desire of him. He is smitten and stricken of God. But he is wounded for our transgression. He is bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes. Hey, that should generate a little fire here tonight. That should generate a little spark here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, Messiah. Oh, the little woman at the well. I love to read St. John 4. I can just see her. She had to be a feisty little gal. She says, this well is deep, and you don't even have a bucket or a rope. He said, go get your husband. I don't have one. Yeah, you said good. You've had five. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Jesus kind of knocked the props out from under. Then she said, we know when Messiah comes, he will show us all things. Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. I am the Messiah. Woo! Praise God. 2,000 years ago, a thick cloud of spiritual darkness covered the entire world. Human life was very cheap. 1/4 of Rome's population were slaves. Women were worth little more than livestock. Children were being offered as human sacrifice on pagan altars. Four empires had taken their turn at ruling the world. Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Each empire boasted an emperor who ruled as a god. They conquered by brute force and held their subjects by main strength until the next empire took over. In the I'm winding down. If you want to know when's he going to quit, he's winding down. In the days of the Roman Colosseum, the disregard for human life was on full display. Contestants fought to the death in the arenas. The cheers of the crowd or the jeers of the crowd determine whether the loser would live or die. Into that world, Christ was born. He came with a new message. He introduced the new birth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again of the water and spirit. Anybody believe that? The cross of Jesus defeated the Roman Empire, not with military force, but by changing and regenerating the hearts of men. It was as though Jesus Christ and Caesar met in the arena and Jesus Christ won the victory. In the years, the decades between A.D. 33 and A.D. 60, the New Testament church turned the world upside down and filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. There is no greater drama in the history of the world than the sight of the early church fighting against the brutality of Rome with the Word of God. Fighting against the sword with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I need 10 more minutes. Whatever you're going to do after service will not be as important as what you're doing right now. If you had been there on the day of Pentecost, and seen 3,000 people receive the Holy Ghost. And a short while later, seen a great number of priests receive the Holy Ghost. You would have been influenced to believe that the Holy Ghost was only a Jewish thing. In fact, the Lord had to get kind of rough with Simon Peter to make him understand. You don't need me to go through the sheep and the animals and all that with you, do you? Not so, Lord, for I have never eating anything unclean. Men, stand at your door. Go with them to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He had no claim to the New Testament salvation. They thought that it was only for the descendants of Abraham. But Peter said, I was not disobedient. When they brought him before the council, when James and John and all of them were looking at him, he said, I had to obey God. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision, as many as came with Peter, were astonished, for they heard these Gentiles speak in tongues and magnify God. Do you understand? All the families of the earth shall be blessed, not just the Jews. Oh, that's why the apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you understand that you and I would have no claim to the Holy Ghost, but the door has been opened. The access has been made. Would you stand with me right now and magnify God and thank Him? How many's glad you got the Holy Ghost? Simon hath declared how that God did visit the Gentile to take out of them a people for His name. Is this a Jesus name church tonight? Are you glad that God visited the Gentiles? Would we just praise Him right now? Would you make your way out of your seat down here or in this altar tonight? And let's have a good season of worshiping the Lord. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's come and show some appreciation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. That God hath visited the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for His name. Praise God. Come on, let's lift our voices tonight, and let's praise Him and thank Him for New Testament salvation. Hallelujah. That's right. Clap your hands. Clap your hands and shout. Woo. That's right. That's right. Let's sing unto the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Whew, that's it. Come on. Louder. Louder. Yes. Yeah. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, you can have the Holy Ghost tonight.
Is the Son.
with somebody. Reach over and pray with somebody right now. Hallelujah, that's right. Praise God.
Bye.